Turn to Luke 22. I'm going to read a few select passages out of there. First 1 through 6. All right, chapter 22 of Luke. It says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of a crowd." Then we're going to jump down to verse 20 through 23. "And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant of my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. And then we're going to jump to 47 and 48. "While he was still speaking, there came a crowd, and the man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, 'Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss?'"
Well, let's start with a little quiz. Who do you think this person is? This person followed Jesus, saw God at work, and was even involved in ministry. Now, that could probably describe a lot of us. But the person that we're going to talk about today, his name is Judas. Judas followed Jesus for over 3 years as one of the 12 apostles, right? He was involved in ministry, saw God at work, heard and Jesus do amazing things, saw Jesus do miracles. But undoubtedly is the most notorious disciple that we know. Judas, or Judah, maybe he was from the tribe of Judah, we don't know. Mary and Joseph named one of their kids Jude, was a brother of Jesus. This man is Judas Iscariot, probably meaning from the town of Kerioth, which is in the south, not the north. So Judas is the only apostle not from the northern part of Israel, but he's from the south. He's always last on the list of apostles when they name him. He's always last. And it's always Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus. That's how he's known as. Well, this disciple kind of challenged me. Not just what to preach about, but to reflect on how can you be around Jesus so intimately for over 3 years, but yet betray him and not be changed and reject all of that. Well, I want to get you a little flavor of that. We're going to look at three passages where we see Judas as the betrayer. Joe read the third one, so we'll go quickly on these first ones. First of all, it's just the fact that we all make decisions about Jesus. Let's look here in John 6. Jesus says, "There are some of you who don't believe." Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe, and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you, no one can come to the Father unless it's granted him by the Father." Some of the people that were sort of following Jesus no longer did. They made a conscious decision. At least they're honest, admitting, okay, no, we're not going to do that anymore. And then, of course, Jesus says, and I know who would betray me. Judas, of course, knew that was him, and Jesus did too. But others followed Jesus. Peter, sort of speaking for the 12, as he often did, he says, "No, you can count on us. We're going to follow you. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." We've believed. We've come to know. You're the Holy One of Messiah. Who else? Of course we'll follow you, Jesus. And they did. Still others fake it. This is Judas. Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Judas, early on here, has the opportunity to sort of drop out. Of course, he could have not followed Jesus from the very beginning, but here's one chance. We'll see, he has several. But here's one chance to say, oh yeah. But no, he kind of quietly goes along with Peter's confession. Yeah, that's what we believe. You bet. He hid his unbelieving, unrepentant heart. He was so good at pretending. And we'll look at this in our next passage. But at the Last Supper, when Jesus says, "One of you is not clean, one of you is going to betray me," the disciples kind of looked around and said, "Well, who could that be?" Judas had faked them out all along. So we all make decisions about following Jesus. And of course, Jesus knows our hearts. He knows what's going on inside of us, even though maybe we can fool other people. Jesus knows exactly. Let's go to the Last Supper. The Feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come to depart out of this world, he's going to die. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So what he's going to do, what he's going to say, is going to be a demonstration of his love. But during the supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knew that. But Jesus does something interesting. He washes the disciples' feet. As an act of, well, he said, as an act of love. That means he washed Judas's feet too. I think one of the reasons that the other 11 apostles were kind of deceived and didn't realize is because Jesus loved them all to the very end, full extent. And instead of sort of pointing out Judas as a public traitor, he gives Judas some opportunities to respond. He's trying to win Judas again by his love. He washes his feet. He includes him in the Last Supper. He's there to the very end. Now, Jesus' love for us is not just some gooey emotion. Jesus loves us so much that he wants to speak truth into our life. And so Jesus not only loves us, but Jesus warns us. I've skipped some verses. They had the Last Supper. He's washed their feet. And again, he's talking to the disciples. Jesus was troubled and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Again, the disciples looked at one another. What? One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, we've already looked at that. Who is that? The disciple whom Jesus loves, we know, is John. This is from the Gospel of John. Well, Peter motions to him and asks Jesus, who is he talking about? So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, probably just in a quiet voice, "Lord, who is it? Who's going to betray you?" Well, Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he dipped the morsel, he gave it to who? Judas. First person to receive this in the Last Supper, that's a great honor. And so Jesus is giving Judas another chance. Judas, I washed your feet. You could have had your heart washed too and come clean. You could have confessed. You could have repented. Here, the Last Supper, I'm giving you another chance. Verse 27, but after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, what you're going to do, do quickly. After so many chances, God gives Judas up to do what he's purposed to do. Could Judas have been forgiven? Well, we don't know, because he never repented, but I think he could have. This is the same night, a few hours later, that Peter is going to deny Jesus. Peter repented. Judas did not. And ultimately, Jesus lets Judas go his way with the decision that he's made. Jesus knows our hearts. Well, let's see Judas's heart in action. The fact is, some people, they do betray Jesus, don't they? Why is that? Why do people betray Jesus? Well, I think just like with Judas, there's probably several reasons. It's probably a combination of things. And if you read the scriptures and you read the commentaries, there's no one agreed on answer. Usually it's a couple different things. Let me just give you some of the major reasons. One, Judas may have been jealous. He was from the south. All the other disciples were from the northern part of the country. And maybe he felt a little left out. He certainly wasn't one of the inner three of Peter, James, and John. And perhaps slowly over time, some bitterness and jealousy could have been growing. Sometimes when people are left out, they sometimes do strange and radical things. Another reason, probably a major reason, is just disillusionment. He was disillusioned. He was looking for Jesus to sort of have this earthly kingdom. Good, let's... And Judas was not the only one that had this expectation, but good, let's get rid of this Roman government. Jesus, just set up your kingdom and it'll be an earthly kind of powerful kingdom. Well, that's not the kingdom Jesus came to bring. And so maybe he got disillusioned with that and said, oh, well then I'm not going to follow Jesus anymore. Another reason could have been greed and hypocrisy. We didn't look at this, but in John chapter 12, John tells us that Judas, who was the sort of the treasurer among the disciples, used to help himself to the disciples' money bag he stole. And we know that Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, which wasn't a lot. That was the price of a slave. 20 bucks. Not that much. He loved money more than he loved Jesus. And then, of course, it says that it was sort of instigated by Satan. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. It said Satan entered Jesus, or Judas, not demon possession, but influence. Judas had opened his life up to the influence and persuasion of Satan, and Satan took advantage of that. Well, I think it's like that today. People betray Jesus for lots of different reasons, and usually it's more than just one. Well, let's see how Judas actually did that. I'm not going to read all these things, but in Luke 22, the passage that Joe read, we see a bunch of different ways. It was very calculated. The chief priests kind of talked with Judas, and in verse 4, it's not up there, but it says Judas conferred with them on sort of when and how to do this. It was conniving. Satan was involved. It was very convenient, sort of in the absence of a crowd, just could do it, but it was cowardly. No one around. It was dark, nighttime. And the very end there, callous he betrays Jesus with a kiss. All this to say, this was very deliberate. Judas didn't just sort of slipped into it. No, this had been building. He had drawn some false conclusions. His heart kept getting harder and harder. And he betrays Jesus. So what lessons can we learn from Judas? You know, why would you even have it? You know, if I were writing the Bible, I wouldn't have one of the disciples betray Jesus. I would have had them all be like superstars. Well, that's not real life, is it? You can see there, let me comment on a couple of these things here. First, the nature of people. What are people like? Judas had walked with Jesus for more than 3 years. He saw the greatest life lived up close and personal. It was the best environment for faith that he could have had. Some think we're a little too harsh on Judas. There was a religious writing in the second or third century called the Gospel of Judas. It's not in our Bible. It shouldn't be. It was discovered back in 1978. And from time to time in books and even movies, they say, wait a minute, Judas, he's more a hero. He's more an instrument of God. And in the Gospel of Judas, it has that Jesus ordered Judas to betray him to kind of help fulfill his mission and sort of move things along. And so Judas is not a villain. He's a true Christian hero. He obeyed Jesus. Well, I can see by the look on your faces, you're not buying that. That's good. That's not what the scriptures teach. You know, that's not the picture painted of Judas, right? He had wasted his potential and privilege and position. What about God? Where's God in all of this? Well, God certainly knew what was going on. He knows who are, we'll use the words or images that Jesus uses. He knows who are the sheep and who are the goats. He knows. And we see the grace of God. Jesus continued to be loving and patient and gracious toward Judas. In fact, in the Old Testament, the plan of God was sort of being worked, and there were prophecies about all of this. That Jesus would be rejected, Psalm 118. He would be hated, Psalm 35. He would be abandoned by his disciples, Zechariah. He'd be betrayed by a friend, Psalm 41. And to get really specific, that person would do it for 30 pieces of silver, both in Jeremiah and Zechariah. Not $29.99, 30 pieces of silver. That's pretty exact. So God knows, and he's sovereign, right? Scripture says Jesus knew that Judas was going to do that. Yet Judas was not coerced. Judas acted freely on his own decision. So God's sovereign plan and Judas' actions come together perfectly in God's sovereignty. Judas did what he did because his heart, you know, was evil and selfish. So let's talk about evil real quick. Bible says that the root of all evil is the love of money, greed. Now, that certainly could have been the case for Judas, and Satan used that to influence him. John told us that Satan put in the heart of Judas to betray him. But Judas did this willingly. Satan couldn't force Judas to do this. It's not like, well, I would have chosen the right thing to do, but the devil made me do it. No, Judas is not off the hook, right? He chose. But it didn't work out very well. Yeah, but some say, but wasn't Judas like sorry at the end? Well, yes and no. There was remorse, but there wasn't repentance. He realized, oh, I think I blew it. But sorrow alone can't redeem you. He tried to sort of undo it, but it was too late. He even went back to the priest and kind of threw the money, you know, in the temple. Well, they didn't need his money. They got what they wanted, Jesus. And Judas tries to sort of fix it himself, but he never goes to God for forgiveness. And in an ultimate irony, Judas commits suicide. Judas dies before even Jesus does. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew 26. The Son of Man goes as is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Evil. And then one last comment about just the church. Don't be surprised that bad people are found in the church. But one black sheep doesn't make the whole flock black or bad. I think there's some encouragement and some reality here. Why encouragement? I think this could be an important lesson for parents and leaders and friends who grieve over someone that has abandoned the faith. Well, how could they do that? And perhaps they worry, well, where did we go wrong? Did we teach something wrong? Did we have bad example? Wow, it's all on us. I don't think that's the case. Now, yes, we need to be responsible spiritual leaders, whether we're parents or teachers or whatever. But Judas had it all. And he still made his choice. It's possible to be near Jesus, associate with followers of Jesus, see God in action, but not give your heart to Jesus. You don't trust Him. You're not a true follower. Well, did Judas lose his salvation? I don't think so. I don't think he ever had it. He was lost because he was never saved. Here's what beginning of Acts says. Judas left to go where he belongs. He went to hell not because he committed suicide, but because he never gave his life to Jesus. His betrayal proved that fact, and his suicide just merely sealed his fate. So what do we do with Judas? I want to just have a short time of prayer as you talk to the Lord about your relationship with Jesus. I believe we can have assurance of our salvation through the Word of God, the testimony of the Holy Spirit, that we really are children of God, and constant introspection and worry about, am I really a believer? I don't think that's how God wants us. To worry about those things. But we do learn from Judas to take an honest self-examination and reflection. Where do I stand with Jesus? So I just want to pray, have a short time of prayer. You talk to the Lord about where you stand with Him, about your relationship with Jesus. And then I'll close us in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, in a sense, Judas does us a favor and causes us to rethink our relationship with You. And Lord, I pray that if someone here today has not truly come to know Jesus, that this would be the moment. Today would be the day where they say, yes, I'm following Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that you have reached out to us, that your grace and love and mercy and forgiveness is there, even the many times that we have messed up and betrayed you. Thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, we don't want to do that. We want to walk with you. Help us. Strengthen us. Give us the things we need to do to walk with you, to trust you, to have your life shine through us each and every day. Thank you, Lord. We commit ourselves to you with great assurance and conviction and hope. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.